Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
The Christian life will never make sense. Giving will never make sense unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus, unless we remember the nails that went through his hands and through his feet and the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. None of it makes sense. Coming to church, serving God, living for God, it seems like too much unless you focus on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reaching Forth in Preparation.
The Lord God of Israel chose me. And notice also, the Bible says in verse number 5, and of all of my sons, he chose Solomon to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And so here we see that God has promised to preserve Israel. God has promised that he will bless Israel. And we sometimes refer to that as the Davidic covenant. And I put it in your notes, the passage of Scripture which says in 2 Samuel 7, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. God said, David, your throne will be established forever. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus was from the house and lineage of David, and the Bible says that of his kingdom there shall be no end. And by the way, that's why America is always wise to stand with Israel as an ally, because God says, I'll bless those that bless Israel, I'll curse those that curse Israel. And when you go to your ballot box and when you vote, I really believe one of the things you think about is, where does this candidate stand with respect to Israel? Because God says, I have chosen David to be my servant. I have chosen Israel to be the apple of my eye. He chose David to be king over Israel, and then his son Solomon to succeed him. And so God prepared Solomon. Notice in verse 8 what the Bible says. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, speaking to Solomon, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance, notice this, for your children after you. So God's chosen servants are to be thinking about the children, the people that are coming after us. It is the burden of the heart of servants to prepare for the next generation, to have a vision beyond our legacy, but to think of those that are coming after us. And so Solomon was commanded also to prepare. Solomon was told in verse 9, if you seek God, he will be found of you. But notice it also says in verse 9, Solomon, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart. And so servants are needed. And God chose David, and God chose Solomon, and God chose Israel. And my friends, today I believe that he has chosen us. I believe that he has given to us a burden and a heart for the next generation and a heart for our city, our county, and our state, and that God wants us with a perfect heart to serve him in this day and to make a difference in this generation. I remember coming, and I remember those early days back when I had hair. Look at all that hair. Christine was born right after we came. On the right is a picture of me. When we bought this property, there wasn't a water line, there wasn't a power line, there wasn't anything but dust blowing around. And yet we had in our heart a desire. We had in our heart a belief that God had called us to Lancaster, California, that God had chosen this church to be a place of blessing to this community, and that God wanted us to bless families and children through the preaching of his word. Servants were needed then, and servants are needed now. But what a joy that we can gather, new and old, together in doing God's work. But servants are needed. David and Solomon gathered the leaders together, and David said, let's all join together to do this work. Notice, first of all, servants are needed. Notice, secondly, supplies are required. Supplies are required. There comes a point in time when God will move from the heart of the leader to develop a strategic plan, or to develop a drawing, if you will, to develop a direction for the future. Now, supplies are required. Notice, first of all, the drawings that were required. The Bible says in verse number 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that had he had by the Spirit, the courts of the house of the Lord, etc. In other words, David is giving to Solomon the design for various parts of the temple. He's giving him the design for each area. The dimensions are given in verses 11 through 12 of the temple. It was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. The furniture was mentioned. The candlesticks were made of gold, and they were mentioned. And also the golden altar of incense was to be overlaid with gold. The tables of showbread with gold and silver. The ceilings and their interior walls are mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. They were made of silver. Of course, the brazen altar, 30 feet wide, 30 feet long. There was the brazen laver, 15 feet in diameter, sitting on a pedestal about 7.5 feet tall. And you can read through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you'll find the dimensions and the ingredients of this amazing building called the temple. And when you visit the Holy Land, you can still see some of the base rock laid by Solomon thousands of years ago for this amazing structure. This would be the center of worship for some 4 million people. This is where the law would be kept, and the scribes would copy the law. This is where blood would be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement for the atonement of the sins of all of Israel. And I want to tell you something, that even as God has called out a people who would be his servants, and even as God had chosen the nation of Israel, I believe with all of my heart today that the local church is God's plan, and that we have the privilege of entering into the work of God as a part of the local church. And so we see supply are needed. You need to have drawings in place. And not only do you need to have the drawings and the list of the supplies for the table of showbread for the construction of the temple, but secondly, offerings are needed as well. Offerings are needed as well. Now, I want you to see this, if you would, in verse number 14. The Bible tells us about the offering of David, and it tells us this. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for the lamps of gold, and for the weight of every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight. In other words, as this list of needs, as this list of drawings would tell, the supply list, they would say, we need this many pounds of gold for this table and this many pounds of gold for the mercy seat. Similar to the blueprints that we have that we're bringing through the city plan check, we have a list, not only the drawings, but a list of supplies. And David said, I want to bring forth an offering. I want to personally bring so that this project may be fulfilled. And David made preparations. And I want you to know that these were very personal. This was not something that he was simply depending upon others, but he was getting involved. It was the burden of his heart. Notice in chapter 29 in verse 2, he says it this way. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Let's say that together. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. One more time. Now I have prepared with... This sermon is entitled, Reaching Forth in Preparation. David said, I had to prepare. No great work gets done for God unless people prepare, unless people are thinking in terms of how can I be a part? And David was preparing personally. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever you're going to do for Jesus, do it with all your might. Now, sometimes people get a little bit anxious when it comes to this matter of preparing and personally bringing an offering in order to fulfill a project. I heard of a guy the other day that went to his boss, and he said to his boss, he said, listen, boss, I need a raise. He said, you need to know there's some other companies that are after me if I don't get that raise. And his boss said, really? He said, what other companies are after you? He said, well, the gas company, the phone company, the electric company, they're all after me, you know? And there are some people like that, you know, they're so flooded with their own burdens, their own problems, they sometimes think, how can I, from my own proper good, be a great part in a project like this? And I want to show you in just a moment that with God, all things are possible. God can make a way, and God was making a way for the children of Israel. David understood this, that God was the owner of everything he had, and that he was the manager of it. This was God's gold and God's silver, and David's attitude was, God, what do you want from me? How can I help in this project? There's a church in Dallas, Texas called the First Baptist Church, and the pastor today is Pastor Robert Jeffress, but years ago, the pastor's name was George Truett back in the 40s. Believe it or not, that church grew to become a church of over 6,000 every Sunday with three staff members. It was an amazing story, one of the largest churches in the nation, a very organized Sunday school. And Dr. Truett was a wonderful soul-winning pastor. He often would say the greatest delight in life and the single greatest accomplishment in life is the bringing of one soul to Jesus Christ. Well, Dr. Truett one day was invited to lunch by one of the wealthy farmers of the church, and so he drove after church out of town a little ways, and they went out to this farm, and dinner was just about to be completed, and so the farmer said to the pastor, why don't we go up to the top of our house? I have a little tower up here, and I'll show you around a little bit of our ranch. And so they went up to the top, and the farmer said, pastor, he said, now, if you look out here to the west, he said, as far as you can see to the west, in all of these oil rigs and in all of these oil pumps, as far as you can see, I own that, as far as you can see. And he said, if you look out here to the east, as far as you can see, all the cattle, all this different land out here with the cows, he said, I own that as far as you can see. He said, pastor, if you look up here to the north, you see the oak trees and the pine trees and the wooded lands. He said, we own that too. It's a part of our family estate as far as you can see. And he said, if you look down this way to the south, all of the wheat and the beans and the crops, he said, we own that as far as you can see. Pastor Truett looked at the man. He said, that's wonderful, sir, but let me ask you this question. How much do you own in that direction? You see, the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth where moths and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven, that's what David was thinking about. He said, listen, Lord, it's all yours anyways, and I want to be personally involved. Ken Blanchard said, the successful person has learned how to make money. The significant person has learned how to give it away. There is a great difference between success and significance. And David wanted his life to significantly make a difference for God. So he was personally involved. Notice he was affectionately involved. The Bible says in verse number 3, I have set my affection to the house of my God. Would you say that phrase with me? I have set my affection to the house of my God. One more time. I have set my affection. Where's your affection? I hope that your affection is for God, for Jesus Christ, His Son, that we have a great affection for the work of God. What if every Baptist in America fell in love with God and the church again? What if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind? What if we said more than anything, I want to see a strong church. I'd like to see a strong lighthouse in every city preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say this lovingly as I know how, that as long as our affection is for the Lakers and the Dodgers and this and for that, as long as our affection is out there in the things of this world, then the gospel of Jesus will never be preached to children like it should be preached. There must be a generation like David who say, this is from my heart. This is something that I believe that I must be a part of. I'm affectionate towards it. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. I heard of a mother that gave to her daughter for Sunday school offering $1.25. And she said, you put one of those in the offering plate and you keep the other. And so after church, she asked her daughter, she said, now, I noticed that you gave the quarter instead of the dollar. And her daughter said, well, Mom, you said God loves a cheerful giver. I decided keeping the dollar would make me very cheerful. I think she missed the point of that. David gave personally. David gave affectionately. David gave abundantly. The Bible says in verse 3, from his proper good. That means his valued treasures. And the Bible says in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And David is modeling that. You see, the natural byproduct of gratitude is generosity. Gratitude equals generosity. That's why Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He has done so much for me. I must do for him as well. And so, how's a great work for God built? How was the tabernacle built? How was the temple built? How do great works for God get done? Well, first of all, servants are needed. We need to have the heart of David and the heart of Solomon. Servants are needed. And secondly, supplies are required. This is going to require God's people getting a heart for God and a heart for the children and saying, I believe and my affection is for this work and I want to be a part. Servants are needed and supplies are required. And then thirdly and finally, let me tell you this, strength is provided. Strength is provided. Now notice what it says back in verse 9 of chapter 28. It says this. Take verse 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Strength is provided. God says, be strong. Now, maybe you're not like me, but in my life, I've had some times where I've needed someone to come to me and say, hey, pastor, be strong. I've had fellow pastors and older pastors say, Brother Chapel, be strong in the Lord. He's going to bring you through. Be strong. Solomon needed to hear from his father. David said, Solomon, be strong. Could I perhaps be the instrument of God for someone in this room? Could I be the one today to just say for someone in this room, be strong. God is able. Be strong. God will provide. And sometimes we wonder, how's that going to happen? Our first offering was back in 1988. We called it Giving by Faith. And I've been doing this now since 1988, and many of you as well. And sometimes someone might say, you know, I'm weary. In fact, if you would ever read the book entitled Pastors at Risk, written by H.B. London Jr., published by the Focus on the Family Group, you'll find statistically that when a pastor completes a multi-million dollar building program, that well more than 70% of those pastors will resign that same church within a 12-month period of that one single building program. I want to tell you something, folks. We have built many, many, many multi-million dollar building programs, and I am standing here today by the grace of God and thankful to the grace of God that he has kept me strong and that I'm still reaching forth and that we're still thinking of the next generation. And some of you might say, but I'm a little tired and my job's not going like I want it to go and I've done this and I've done as much as I could. I want to say to you, be strong, my friend. God will give you the strength. And someone might say, well, how can I be strong? Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you trying to be as strong as you can be. I'm not talking about you psyching yourself up and doing something dumb. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about faith. We're talking about seeing what God can do. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. The implication is that God is always present. He will be there in every step of the building of the temple. And I want to tell you, my friend, God has been with us, and he will never forsake his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So he says, you're going to need some strength. He says, be strong. And secondly, he says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. One of my early mentors was Dr. Tom Malone from Pontiac, Michigan. Dr. Malone often said, when God is going to do something wonderful, he will start with the difficult. When God is going to do something miraculous, he will start with the impossible. And if you would have visited Lancaster Baptist Church on my first Sunday, and if you would have seen that building, that little foreclosed building at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, and me standing there at age 24 preaching to 12 or 15 people and realizing that we were being foreclosed upon, if somebody would have seen that, they would have literally said, this is impossible. But I am here to declare to you this morning that with God, all things are possible. And the God that has brought us thus far will continue with us along the way. And so this is why David says to Solomon in verse 20, fear not, fear not. Now look here, church. Everything we do for God begins with an attitude. Your attitude will either be a spirit or an attitude of faith or fear. Faith or fear. And so I want to encourage you with these little thoughts. How do you do a great work for God? Well, servants are needed. Servants are needed. How do we do a great work for God? Well, supplies are going to be required. They're not going to give us free steel. They're not going to give us that elevator is not going to be free. Supplies are going to be required. And strength is going to be provided. May God help us to recognize we're the servants. He can bring the supplies through us. And he will give us the strength every step of the way. How's that going to happen? One final verse, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Now look at the first part of that verse and we're done. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this question? Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know his grace? Have you been saved by his grace? Amen. Then since you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let God show you how you can be a part. Because though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Now there might be someone here this morning. Somebody might be sitting here going, I don't even know what it means to be a Christian. I didn't even know what the book of 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles was. I'm not sure that Jesus Christ is in my heart or that I have an eternal home in heaven. So for those like that today, let me say this. Jesus Christ loved you so much that he came down to this earth. He allowed the Roman soldiers to put nails through his hands, his feet, a spear through his side, a crown of thorns upon his head. His blood that came flowing down washes away the sins of all who believe so that they might be forgiven, so that they might have a home in heaven. And that's the story we want to tell to thousands and thousands of children so that they might know the joy of forgiveness and so that you today also might know it. But if you know that story and you've experienced that grace, then since you've experienced that grace, let's grow in that grace this year. Let's be the servants. Let's bring the supplies. And let's be strengthened by the grace of our God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily.